Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge. In this episode, we're talking about the integration of crowdsourcing and the cloud when cloud meets crowd. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today, as always, is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Doug, always a pleasure to have you.
Same here. Thanks.
Well, today we're going to discuss two concepts that really have taken off and taken a broad hold over the last 3 or so years. Crowdsourcing received a lot of attention as social media really grew up. You put a question or statement on Facebook, on Twitter, and you can just watch the responses roll in. Wikipedia is probably the first high-profile example of the power of crowds as related to the internet. So now you add to that the acceptance and the availability of cloud computing services, and now you have an even easier path to reach people and collect those responses. The idea of tapping into the wisdom of the crowd isn't necessarily new. Mathematicians, scientists have helped each other and asked each other to help solve problems for decades. But the broader understanding of how crowdsourcing works, the success of sites such as Wikipedia or the site that promotes investment or creative projects called Kickstarter, is really bringing the idea of crowdsourcing and cloud together. Now, as I was doing some research for this discussion, I actually found an article about someone who made a movie using the cloud and crowdsourcing. I thought that was pretty cool. It's not the typical way you think of crowdsourcing. We're going to talk about it in the federal government. I don't think any movies are going to be made in the federal government. But what you do have is vendors offering tools and services to reach a broad audience and make that happen much more easily. Well, obviously, the Obama administration has been active in crowdsourcing using the IdeaScale platform for the SAVE Awards and many other contests, and we're going to offer some more examples later in the show. But those initial use cases are pretty basic. We will explore how crowdsourcing in the cloud could improve back office and administrative functions, as well as ease intra-governmental communications and even address mission-critical projects. So with that context in place, let me turn back to Doug Bourgeois. He's the Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. So Doug, let's start with the very beginning. Crowdsourcing in the cloud, it seems pretty simple, but let's get your definition. How does it work?
On the one hand, your examples are really, really great, even though they're not necessarily for enterprise context. I really like it because it really exemplifies the main point of crowdsourcing, which is really tapping into a level of innovation and creativity, and in some cases, expertise that you really don't have access to in any other way. I think the thing to remember, the main point of the integration between crowdsourcing and cloud computing is that the two, when brought together, bring it together, this creativity, tapping into the resources out there in the world for the purpose of the enterprise. And so, you know, from that vantage point, you know, crowdsourcing, as you kind of described, it's nothing more than an approach that allows, you know, potentially large but very distributed groups of people to participate in either completing a task or solving a problem or something as simple as just making a decision. I think in its most basic form, this, whatever it is, this problem, this task is published and made available via the cloud to a group of people. And that group of people, we'll talk a little bit more about later, can be completely wide open to anybody or can be very, very narrowly defined based on a whole lot of parameters. And we can talk some about that and why that makes it useful for the government context. And then this group, they either compete against each other or they collaborate with each other or they work on their own or in a very, very small team to solve that problem and complete the task. And I think the thing about the merger of the cloud and the crowd is that the task itself now becomes much more beneficial to, in this case, the government, or in other cases, just the enterprise in general.
I want to back up on something you said. You talked about make it easier to bring people together. Previously, you know, before the cloud and crowdsourcing was it done in a sense where you maybe a conference, you brought people together to talk about something, or they did it by letters, or how? Because why is the cloud important in this idea of crowdsourcing?
Two perspectives there. One is you go back about 10 years, and then exactly like you described, you bring people together in conferences, birds of a feather, breakout groups and sessions like that. Then we got this great stuff, you know, like teleconferencing, right? And then we'd be teleconferencing everybody in. And then we got this like WebEx, right? And then, you know, we were sharing content online in a WebEx format. And I think what we're doing now is it's just another progression of using not just the web now, but the cloud to tap into a much even, you know, broader resource pool of individuals and expertise. Because in many cases now we're finding that the expertise, even in your own narrowly defined field, like it could be oil exploration or it could be Java development, you're finding that there are folks all over the world that you never would have been able to bring to your event or even invite them to your phone call before.
Right. There's always a limit. How many people can travel to Chicago for a conference. Now it doesn't matter. Everyone from around the world can tap into it. So let's talk about those service and deployment models associated with crowdsourcing in the cloud. What are they? How would they work?
There's three basic models that are in pretty wide use at this point in time. And the first is a contest. So contest is just what you would expect. You know, it's a challenge or a problem to solve is defined and that it's posted in the cloud. And then typically there is some sort of offer of a cash award for the one individual or team that solves the problem in the most effective manner. And then the winners are determined by either a peer review process or some sort of selection board. So that's a contest using the crowd. A marketplace is the second form. And in a marketplace, a little bit more complex here. And this one actually has great applicability, although all of these do. All of the examples have applicability to the government. This one has great applicability for helping to solve some of the bigger cost challenges that the government faces. But in a marketplace, a job or an activity is advertised and made available to a group of contractors or freelancers who then basically bid on it. And the crowd, they advertise their skill sets, their portfolios, their rates about themselves so that anybody who wants to post a job, if you will, into the marketplace can see, you know, they can kind of look at the profile and the history of these folks who are basically bidding on the jobs. Previous employers are also able to evaluate these folks, these resources in the crowd on a variety of factors. And these evaluations are made available to prospective employers who are posting jobs. So they can basically see how well the people who employed these folks over time, you know, evaluated them, and that can help them, you know, make a more informed decision.
So let me jump in real quick, just on this marketplace idea. Is the idea that it's almost like you make an award, a contract award, but it's a different way of a contract award?
It can be, exactly. It can be as simple, and this is why it has great applicability with cloud computing now and mobile applications, is because now that modular and micro-coded applications are coming into the mainstream, in particular to enable, you know, mobile application development and mobile workforce productivity, this is a great venue for defining a small little app and then allowing either, in some cases, individuals or small teams of college students or whatever they may be to basically bid and then develop that app, in some cases days, you know, weeks, and then basically submit that code back to the organization for evaluation and acceptance. So in a way, it is another step forward for how to acquire software development services. It doesn't have to be limited to software development, but this is the example I'm using now, that kind of pushes the envelope a little bit and can, it actually challenges the status quo about how IT acquisitions are done in the federal government in particular, and kind of calls into question the multi-million dollar acquisition, right? And you know, now things can be done for $4,500 and in 3 weeks. So why would you go through the high cost of the traditional type of acquisition, for example?
And then there was the third model for crowdsourcing in the cloud you're going to go through.
The third model is the volunteer model. And I wrote a blog on this about a year ago called Citizen Coders. And it was based on my experience at a White House award ceremony where some really creative citizens were being recognized for some of the work that they'd done. But basically, this model, citizens utilize the cloud to become more engaged in civil service or improving the operations or services available to their peer citizens. And so in this model, often government data is made available for free, and then people add value to that data by mashing it up, which means combining it with other data, or by creating applications that use that data in ways that citizens really need it, but it's not really as beneficial to the government, for example, to do it. So they're not incentivized to do it, but citizens really want it. So they're, you know, they spend a little bit of time and effort, they get it done, and then they add value enhancing maybe the personal lives or the activities, recreation of citizens in a particular area.
You've mentioned a couple times and there's opportunities for both agencies, but also for the agencies have used the crowdsourcing in the cloud. Let's look at some examples of what agencies have done over the last few years. I think I mentioned the SAVE Award using IdeaScale's one, but there's a whole host of others. Which ones really stand out to you?
I've got a solid example for each of the different types of models. So for a contest, for example, NASA has something called the Tournament Lab. And I'm going to use a specific example that went through the Tournament Lab to kind of illustrate it. They offered a challenge through the Tournament Lab to create an algorithm to optimize the contents for the medical kits that accompany the astronauts on missions, right? And so NASA already had an algorithm for this, as you might expect, but was looking for one that might be more efficient. The contest produced 549 submissions over 2 weeks. The best submission was more effective than NASA's previous algorithm by a factor of three, and NASA began, they adopted it, and they began to use it. And the cost to improve this algorithm was only $1,000. They were able to tap in. They had 549 options to choose from. They paid $1,000, and it was three times more effective. I mean, how can you get any better than that, right, as an example?
What's the ROI on that? I mean, that's an incredible return on investment considering, and then a factor of three, you said, to be more efficient. That in itself is probably worth millions of dollars to NASA, a huge organization like that.
Exactly.
So another example.
Another example would be an example of a marketplace. I've actually got, in this case, several private sector examples of marketplaces. Companies that include Elance, Odesk, Guru.com, and Freelance.com. These are some of the, there's probably some others out there, but these are the more leading ones that I could recognize. And in essence, what these companies do that make it so intriguing from a government perspective is that they go out and basically pre-source the technology staff that's plugged into their marketplace, right? And so they go and they do all of these filtering of their technology skills, their experience, all the different technologies that they are expert on. But then they go further. In some cases, they'll reflect whether these employees or folks, freelancers, whatever they are, resources in the crowd, whether they have security clearances and to what extent those security clearances are and who they might have them with, because these are people that might have worked as subcontractors on other government contracts in the past. And so they go ahead and make all that information available to the buyer. And then the buyer, all they have to do is post that the parameters around this opportunity or software that they want developed. But then the thing that kind of causes the great merge and integration of cloud and crowd is that the organization who posts the job might have their own cloud, which has their software development tools in there. They adhere to the software development standards that they want, and it might even have a very robust cloud-based test environment, right? So then they can tap in, once they choose which employee or contractor they want to work on this, they can then tap them into their cloud to do the software development work and kind of, you know, collaborate with their other software developers. So it is a very agile kind of a model, and it, much like the example in the previous model with the NASA tournament lab, it really changes the entire economics of how to do software development. And it takes this whole concept of, you know, multi-year large integrator kind of contracts, and in my view, calls them into question as whether they're even needed anymore.
Doug, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that last example, the volunteer example. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is when crowd meets cloud.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic is when crowd meets cloud. Now, Doug, before break, we were talking about the different models of cloud computing and crowdsourcing together. You were going to give us an example of a third model called the volunteer model. Tell us what that's about.
Well, one of the best examples I can think of today for the volunteer model is Code for America. They have a volunteer staff that partners with several U.S. cities to provide new and innovative solutions on, you know, some issues that are of interest to citizens. For example, they developed several like 311 solutions, which are basically like the ability to report, track, and manage non-emergency kind of issues like potholes and broken street lamps and those sorts of things. And what they've been able to do is then they take this code that they developed and made it available via the cloud to other cities and municipalities who are now reusing it. So they've solved the problem once in a much more economical, efficient way and in an innovative way. And then they've made it available to other cities to go ahead and use and adopt it for their own use because, you know, in a lot of ways, there's, you know, reusable solutions make a lot of sense in the public sector. So there's another great example.
Going through each of these examples, you kind of highlighted several of the benefits, such as, you know, reuse. such as, you know, getting a higher ROI. Those are maybe some of the obvious benefits. Would you point to maybe some of the less obvious benefits that agencies could take advantage of?
The first thing I'll do is I'll anchor what I consider to be the two largest, most substantial benefits, and then kind of, you know, trickle down to some of these others. But the first is tapping into a much wider pool of expertise and available resources than you could ever get without using this combination of crowd and cloud one. So you're getting the best available expertise anywhere. And then second is the efficiency of the model is just a whole new, I hate to use the word buzzword, paradigm. I mean, it's a whole nother shift of economics and efficiency that it takes it to a whole nother level. But then, you know, once you have that, then it considerably increases the visibility into the work being done. Right. So you can, you know, use the cloud to see what the people are doing at any point in time. Much better access to lower cost and agile environments, again, in the cloud, like the infrastructure environment that we've been talking about for the last 3 years. The infrastructure as a service cloud model has matured to the point where these resources are now available at much lower cost. So the ability to take that innovation and marry it up with that low cost, highly agile infrastructure and get things done again much faster at a much lower cost. So in addition, an area people might not even be thinking about is the ability to overcome the looming retirement wave. You know, we've been talking about it for some years, but the bottom line is folks in the government are going to start retiring. It's just part of the nature of the demographic. And so as these folks retire, we might be able to extend their being able to tap into that expertise and that experience by getting them to participate in the crowd on a part-time basis. You know, they can still do this from home because it's cloud-based and they don't have to drive into the office and wherever, downtown D.C. or the other large cities where there's government centers. And we can be able to continue to tap into those resources.
I want to go back to one thing you talked about. You talked about the infrastructure as a service model, better access through that. When you think of infrastructure as a service, people think of it as very, maybe not static, but in a very specific way. Does crowdsourcing and cloud, when you look at the infrastructure as a service model, does that change the concept of infrastructure as a service in the sense that you hear of test and development, for instance, as being used in the cloud a lot? That requires agencies to maybe have a different thought pattern?
Yes, it definitely requires a different thought pattern, and from a couple of perspectives. On the one hand, the infrastructure capability of these cloud services is continuing to mature beyond just, you know, what I call, you know, raw infrastructure, you know, available, to now the level where the infrastructure and the level of automation can become basically automating the application infrastructure. So the application needs, you know, it needs a database server, it needs a web server, it needs an application server, it needs certain things associated with them, and they need to be kind of coded together, you know, wired together. The cloud has now progressed to where these functions are even now automated. So it makes it much, much easier and much faster to take in this compiled code that was just developed using crowdsourcing in the cloud, using a PaaS, platform as a service type of a cloud, and then just drop it into this infrastructure cloud with this environment that's ready to go and highly scalable so that you can run a stress test on it. And you can do it just so much faster and so much more efficiently than in the past. Now, second is this way of thinking is I think that the legacy and in some ways the regulations around acquiring IT services in the government have taken us to this very comfortable rut where we define all of our requirements up front and then we have all these vendors bid on them and then we evaluate them and then they bring to bear all these technical resources to the contract. That model, I think, is designed for a time when solutions were somewhat client-server based and vertical into their proprietary platforms and environments. And my point is that the entire thought process around acquiring IT services for government now needs to evolve to keep pace with these crowdsourcing and cloud kind of merging together to create a whole new agile possibility.
I also like the idea that you brought up around the retirement wave. We hear about this constantly, but the idea of, hey, you could work part-time. Let me combine that with the idea of innovation and how innovation fits together with crowdsourcing. I mean, is that a way to be innovative because you are tapping into people either A, who have tons of knowledge that maybe you wouldn't normally be able to tap into, or B, people who maybe you could tap into, but the cost would be too high or the scheduling would be too hard because if they had to come to your office to provide you with those big ideas, does it change that concept as well?
It changes it from a couple of perspectives. One is, for example, with the what I call the legacy method, you're only going to be able to get access to the expertise of the winning contractor. Well, as it turns out, you know, two other contractors might have had better expertise available, but due to cost reasons or their management processes or whatever, they didn't have the winning bid. With the crowd, you have the potential to tap into any and all resources who want to subscribe to that particular job. But you still have to manage that situation, but you use the cloud to do that. And you can, you know, you can do it in that way. Then the other point is that, that you raised is a really good one. I think we all recognize, and myself included, we worked as civil servants because we wanted to make a difference. And that's, you know, part of the way, you know, folks are wired when they go into to government service. And the fact that they go on and retire doesn't mean that they still don't want to have that opportunity to pay back and contribute. But they can also do it now with crowdsourcing in the cloud. They can get paid for some of it, and they can do volunteer work in their spare time and still not be, you know, doing that in the burden after the burden of a 40-hour week job, right? They can do that in retirement and still be able to contribute and make some money and pay for some of those, you know, retirement golf games or whatever it is that folks like to do.
And the other piece of that is they can do it from their house. They can do it from their vacation home. All they need is that internet access, the laptop, and the wife. And that makes things a lot more palatable, I think, for a lot of people. Doug, we talked a lot about the benefits, the return on investment, but there's also challenges or maybe even potholes that agencies need to be aware of so they don't step into. What do you think are some of the bigger ones?
I guess it's the other side of the coin. We talked about the available, one of the advantages was the ability to tap into these expertise and resources, even potentially around the globe. On the other hand, that creates security concerns. So there are security challenges that need to be addressed. And that's where, for example, I think these concept of the marketplaces come into place, where the marketplaces are doing the background investigations, in some cases up to top security clearances, and they're maintaining those profiles on the resources they have available in the crowd. And then it's on the government, or in more generally the customer, to make sure that they are taking advantage of and using those filters and attributes accordingly. Also, some technical challenges there in terms of access methods and identity management and the typical things that we need to solve. I think in addition, there are some substantial questions around copyright and patent infringement. With a crowd, you might not know, for example, it might not be quite evident that somebody who is submitting a response or an algorithm or whatnot, they might have even inadvertently taken a piece of reusable code from somewhere else that might actually be somebody else's intellectual property, right? So there are ways, there are now algorithms and things that help test for that, but it's not an easy task. So that's an area for concern as well as copyright, potential copyright issues on some of the content that might be submitted as well. I think another area would be the scope and defining the problem or task. And this is an area where the entire industry, not just government, but the entire industry has been challenged time and time again to get a handle on the requirements and how you define the task at hand. And this is no different. It's just a different task. It's a smaller task and it's more discreet. And that presents new challenges for the person or the organization that's wanting to post the activity, the job in the cloud, is that they really need to do a really good job of defining what this thing is that they want the crowd to do for them. And then finally, and we can never forget, specify the standards to be utilized. So it'd be a waste of resources to have a bunch of different people participating and contributing and then have the, due to standards reasons, incompatible results, right? So it's still incumbent upon the, in this case, the government, but the customer to define what standards they want the crowd to use.
One or two things that agencies should keep in mind as they're looking at crowdsourcing in the cloud.
The things that come to mind are basically from a risk management standpoint, right? Start small, start with something that's not mission critical to the organization. Even a contest like the NASA one that I described earlier could have substantial benefits to the government, but not necessarily a high-risk scenario if it fails or doesn't, you know, turn out the kind of results that you hope. But I do think that gradually over time, as just like anything, as the use and the maturity and the processes and approaches get better and better over time, that this combination of crowdsourcing and cloud computing, when brought together, are really going to completely transform the way technology and, in particular, applications and software are developed and deployed across the government. And we're at this point now, due to the maturity of cloud computing and crowdsourcing in general, when it is time to begin to utilize these approaches in a more higher volume type of an approach.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector. Today's topic was crowdsourcing in the cloud. To hear this show in its entirety and others just like it on topics such as cloud brokerage or innovating in the cloud, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.